Well, that was just plumb beautiful, that last song. I love to listen to the various parts and the beautiful sound that is rung out in worship of God. That's beautiful. We are going to study meekness this morning. As you look at this passage of Scripture in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, you notice that there's nine words there that are used to describe the fruit or define the fruit of the Spirit. So these are all characteristics that God is wanting to produce in us. He's seeking to make us into these kind of people. So think about that from a big picture standpoint. Think about that in relation to your marriage, relation to the way you raise your children, relation to your relationships with brethren. Just in general, in the workplace, everywhere, think about what that looks like to be this kind of person. This kind of person who is filled with love and joy and peace, long-suffering or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. These are all beautiful characteristics, and there are many others, of course, in the Scriptures that are denoted and given in lists like the grace, the Christian graces in 2 Peter 1, the Beatitudes that we read this morning in the Bible reading. This is the kind of person that God is trying to make us into. And he states it as being conformed to the image of his Son. That's his goal for us. And ultimately, in 1 John 3, John says, we don't know what we shall be when he comes again, but we know that we shall be like him. And so everyone who has this hope fixed upon himself purifies himself just as he is pure. We know that we shall be like him. And so God is wanting us to be like him now, in the here and now. Can you see why the Bible says that in Jesus Christ is every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places? It's not just the eternal reward. And I when I say that, I just have to kick myself. Just. I put the word just in front of eternal reward. But you know what I'm saying. It's not only the eternal reward. It's the blessings that we have in the here and now that God wants us to have. And he gives us those blessings by helping us to become more like his Son. And he does this through the Spirit of God who works through the Word of God. And so in Romans chapter 8, Paul will say that we need to set our mind on the things of the Spirit. And that is life. Setting your mind on the... So that's what we're doing today. And that's what we should be doing every day. And that's the big picture of the Christian walk, is that the Christian walk, as Aaron said in his talk this morning, every aspect of our life, let there be nothing in our lives that we do not give over to God. I told the young people today, we were talking about the cost of discipleship in the junior high class, and I used the phrase, you're either all in or you're not in at all. And that's the way it is taught in the Scriptures. You're either all in or you're not in at all. And if you're all in, then God is recreating you. He's renewing you in the Spirit to become conformed to the image of His Son. And that gives you meaning. That gives you purpose, gives you direction, guidance, it gives you everything. So let's be thankful to God that He has blessed us with every blessing, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So what is this fruit called meekness? I actually changed the word here. In the English Standard Version, it says gentleness. I changed it to meekness for this purpose this morning. You'll see meekness in a number of translations. This word is translated usually either meekness or gentleness, or sometimes translated humility. It's a very difficult word to translate in the English, we come to find out. And so I think we're going to learn a little bit this morning about meekness that will challenge us, I think, to think about it maybe in a different way than we normally think about it. For example, In vocabulary.com, their description of meek is thus. The adjective meek describes a person who is willing to go along with whatever other people want to do, like a meek classmate who won't speak up even when he or she is treated unfairly. A meek person can also be humble, but these words aren't quite synonymous. That's not really the right picture, according to the Bible, of what meekness is. But that's the way we hear it, usually. And even the term gentle, in, for example, at vocabulary.com, the term gentle, as defined by them, use the adjective gentle to describe something that is soothing or kind, like a person with a tender nature or the soft sound of light rain. The word is often applied to people, but it can be used more broadly to describe anything that is mild, moderate, and without harshness, such as a gentle detergent or a gentle reminder. And I'm not saying that none of those concepts are contained within the word. What I'm saying is that it doesn't really capture the real, true, full meaning of the word meek in the Bible. Even Thayer's Greek lexicon, and his job is to define these Greek words, right, according to the best understanding of that time in which they were written. Even he has difficulty capturing the meaning of the word. There's four words that are translated meek or gentle, four Greek words translated meek or gentle in the New Testament. And he defines them all very similarly: gentle, mild, meek, mildness of disposition, gentleness of spirit, gentleness, mildness, meekness. And I think this idea of mildness is very much the way we see the word meek or gentle. Very mild, very soft, very tender, timid perhaps even. Weak, maybe in a negative sense. If someone is meek, they might be like the first description in vocabulary.com, the classmate who is unwilling to do anything even though he's being mistreated treated unfairly. So, you know, we have this connotation of this word that I think is very limited. And it might be helpful, I think, to notice that this word was used by the Greeks to describe a war horse that was trained to obey instantly and absolutely, no matter how great the confusion during the battle. They would call this war horse praus, meek. So here's this huge animal, this beast, with tremendous strength. But they were able to control that animal with just a nudge of the foot along the side and get that animal to do whatever they wanted him to do. And so the animal, being with great strength, yet was meek in the sense that he was willing to allow himself to be controlled by something else, by something above him, something stronger in his mind, in view of human beings controlling him. So, that's the concept. And you can see how difficult that is to put into one English word. It's just a difficult concept. We don't have an English word that really says that. And so, here's my definition. It's not one word, is it? Inner strength to yield submissively to the control or needs of another when circumstances require it. Now, that would be a secular definition. I've got a more biblical definition of this that I think you'll see in the scriptures. But from a secular point of view, if we just use the word meek, it might be something along this lines. Inner strength to yield submissively. See, the strength aspect is there, and yet the yielding aspect is there. The inner strength to yield submissively to the control or needs of another when circumstances require it. So let's look at this biblically. And notice Matthew 5 and verse 5, which I believe is a reference back to Psalms 37, verses 1 through 11. Matthew 5 and verse 5, we read in the scripture reading this morning, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Well, when you do a study of that phrase, you can go back to Psalm 37, verses 1 through 11 and find it there. So let's do that. Let's read Psalm 37, verses 1 through 11. If you'd like to open your Bibles and read with me, I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Psalm 37, verses 1 through 11. A Psalm of David. He says, "Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while and the wicked will be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace." So when Jesus uses this phrase in the Beatitudes, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth," shouldn't we go back to Psalm 37 and verses 1 through 11 and look at that and see what that looks like, see what it means, and define the concept of meekness according to the context in which it's used? I think that's very helpful to do that, and I think it'll open up our minds a little bit to understand a little bit more deeply about this concept of meekness and ask ourselves if we're meek, because all of us are supposed to be meek. I was laughing with Jenny today. I said, "Do you think that if I asked the brethren if they thought Darrell Townsend was a meek man, that they would say yes?" And we laughed because, no, Darrell's an aggressive man. So, you know, in the worldly standpoint, we don't call men like Darrell meek. In fact, Darrell was called meek, he'd probably feel insulted, you know, in this world that we live in. And I think I would, too. And probably Bert, too, you know. If I'd throw Bert in there with you, Darrell, so he could take it, too. But no, see, I think Bert is a meek man, and I think Darrell is a meek man, when you properly understand the concept of what meekness is. Strength under control, yielding and submitting to God's will in circumstances and in dealings with people. So that's a different, isn't it? It's a different concept, really, than just being mild-mannered, almost timid. It's much different. So, verses 3 and 4 of this say, "The meek trust in the Lord, they feed on His faithfulness, and they delight in Him." All right, keep going. Verses 5 and 6 talk about us committing our way to the Lord, meaning submitting to the Lord and trusting in Him, right? You trust in the Lord, you feed on His faithfulness, you delight in Him, and so you commit your way to the Lord. And what does that mean? That means you're allowing the Lord to control you. Your strength is under the control of the Lord. You're committing your way to Him. You're involving Him in every aspect of your life. You're trusting Him. And so in verses 7 through 11, it talks about the meek waiting on the Lord with peace in their hearts. Why? Because they have committed their way to the Lord, because they have trusted and delighted in the Lord. And so they're allowing the Lord to do what? They're allowing the Lord to control their thoughts and their actions. And that's meekness. That's strength, allowing itself to be under the control of another in dealing with people and circumstances. And the another, is God, in our view, in the biblical view. We are allowing God to control our mind and our thoughts. We're yielding to Him with peace in our hearts, contentment in our souls, delight in Him, trusting in Him that He has His ways and He will work things out, and we're going to do His way. So think about, well, we're going to talk about some applications. I want to move into applications always. But let's go on a little bit further here. The last comment I made here is the meek have great inner strength to yield to God's will and thus, oh yes, and thus inherit the earth. So the meek shall inherit the earth. What does that mean? Now, in the physical sense, do the meek, the timid, the mild, the yielding, the submissive, do they inherit the earth? No, they get trampled on. Isn't that right? They get trampled on. They get run over. Might makes right in our world. You know, survival of the fittest. Who's the strongest? Who's the most powerful? They tend to rule and run over those who yield. So what is Jesus talking about? What is David talking about when he says the meek will inherit the earth? Well, I do think it gets back to what we were already talking about in regard to the spiritual blessings that we have in Jesus Christ. We are kings in this life with Christ. We rule with Christ in this life because we are yielding ourselves to the King and allowing His thoughts and His peace and His joy and His love to govern our every step. And we're trusting in Him for our guidance, for our choices. We're going to Him and we're trusting in Him and we're delighting in Him and we're receiving all the spiritual blessings in the heavenly places right now. We inherit the earth. We're the true rulers. We rule. Oh, we may get, like the early Christians, taken out of our homes and our possessions absconded, you know, taken from us, and go into jail and maybe even die. And that's not pleasant. But along the way, what will we have? It says they counted it joy. They considered that when they considered the taking of their possessions and being thrown into prison, it says that they joyfully endured that, knowing that they had a better place, a better home that was coming. They were able to enjoy the spiritual blessings of Christ even when they were suffering. Paul and Silas in prison that we studied about this week. How in the world do people who have their backs laid open with rods sing and pray joyfully to the Lord in prison at midnight? And yet that's what they were doing because they had every spiritual blessing in the head. They yielded control to God and they took on His nature. So it's a great inner strength to be meek. It's a strength. It's a huge, mighty control that you're allowing God to have over your thoughts and over your heart. That's meekness. Now, let's look at the two meekest men of all time for a second. Jesus, of course, is the meekest of all. Right? What did He say over and over? I can do nothing of my own initiative. I can only say and do those things which the Father tells me. And then He would say, I do everything I do is pleasing to Him. Jesus perfectly yielded Himself to His Father. Perfectly. Perfectly. Perfectly meek. But strong. Did He cleanse the temple twice? Driving them out? With His Father's strength. According to His Father's will, doing what was necessary for that moment under that circumstance. Was He a weak man? No. Was He timid? No. Nobody had greater strength than Jesus. And yet He was the meekest man ever to live. Moses, in his day, was the meekest man on the face of the earth. Numbers chapter 12 and verse 3. So just consider, without going into great detail, Moses's life and what he endured. He had how many hundreds of thousands, probably in the millions, of people that he was responsible for. And they were continually complaining, continually causing him grief and problems. And in Numbers chapter 12, Even his own siblings rose up against him, Miriam and Aaron, and said, "We can do this better than him." And God brought leprosy upon Miriam. Aaron prayed for her, and the leprosy was removed. Moses prayed for her, and the leprosy was removed. Moses endured. He allowed God to control his spirit so that he could endure this crowd of people that were constantly causing him grief and difficulty. He was a meek man. Was he timid? Now, this is the man who was in Egypt calling down the plagues of God upon Pharaoh. This is not a weak man. This is a strong man who's allowing himself to be controlled by God so that he can do God's will and fulfill the purpose that God has called him to. So, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Do we have a better idea now of what that means, what that looks like? You're allowing God to control your spirit. You're allowing God to control your choices. In fact, when you're dealing with people in circumstances where your emotions can get high or you can misbehave in certain ways that won't be helpful, you're allowing God to control your spirit. You're submitting, you're yielding to God and allowing His thoughts and His mind and His words to teach you and train you what you should be like. And as a result of that, you inherit the earth. As a result of that, your marriage is stronger. As a result of that, your children are feel your love more and your discipline better, and so on. God is doing all of this. He's bearing this fruit in you when you set your mind on the things of the Spirit. He's creating meekness in you. And that's not a bad thing, is it? That's a good thing. All right. So before our lesson is over, let's look at a few uses of the word and get a sense for just how dominant this concept is in the Bible. In the New Testament. All of these passages will be from the New Testament. So James chapter 3. James chapter 3, verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. You know, it's like just one of these phrases that God throws out there at us. And then you think about it and you realize just how significant that phrase is. The essence of wisdom is meekness. In what sense? Being willing to submit, yield to God's word, to God's wisdom, to God's instruction. Is that wise? It's the essence of wisdom. The yielding of our, with strength, yielding to God is the essence of wisdom. Now, what's the opposite of that? Well, he goes on to say, but if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. So, self-focus, unwilling to yield, arrogance, selfish ambition, pride. All of those things are the opposite of the meekness of wisdom. And they're evil. He says they create disorder and every evil thing. In verse 17, he says, but the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle. That's not the word for meek. That's a different word that's translated correctly. Gentle, reasonable. Okay, reasonable. Open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And it talks about the making of peace that comes from the wisdom of God. Have you ever thought about that in terms of making peace? A soft answer turns away wrath. A willingness to yield to someone temporarily so that you can have an influence on them. A willingness to compromise and work together on things so that you can have a better result than just battling back and forth with one another. That's meekness. A willingness to yield to God's control when dealing with persons or circumstances. It's the essence of wisdom. Compromise, not compromising the truth, but compromising your own will, and yielding to perhaps the will of someone else when it's appropriate, when it's helpful. when it can meet needs. James chapter 1, here's an interesting use of the term. James chapter 1, verse 19. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness that God requires. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. Receive with meekness. That means you're willing to yield to God. Receive with meekness the implanted word. This is what I think God is looking for in us. And in fact, those of you who teach the gospel and you sit down across the table with someone and you study the word of God with them and you show them what God says, you can get a sense for a person's willingness to yield, to receive the word of God with meekness. You can get a sense for that when you study with people. Do they have that willingness to yield? And so you can encourage. If they don't, you can encourage them. You can use James chapter 1, verses 19 through 21 even, and you can show them that this is the way we need to receive the word of God. We need to be willing to submit to it, to yield to it. Here's another use of the term. Titus chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. And this is a general overall statement by Paul. He says, remind them, the Christians, to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle. That's not the word for meek there. That's the word for gentleness. And to show perfect courtesy. Now, that is a strange translation in the ESV. The literal translation is, to show all meekness to all people. They translate it to show perfect courtesy toward all people. They're trying to get a sense for what Paul's talking about there. But Paul's talking about meekness. It's not just courtesy. Okay? So now you get a deeper sense of the term. To show all meekness to all people in all circumstances means that you're doing what? You're yielding to the control of God in dealing with whatever person or circumstance you're dealing with. You're trusting in God's ways. You're listening to God's word. You're trying to apply God's word to the circumstance you're in, to the person you're dealing with, showing all meekness in all circumstances to all people. So is meekness important? Is it not like super elevated in the teaching of the Word of God? So have you evaluated yourself on meekness? I don't know that I have all that well down through the years. Maybe because I didn't understand the concept as well as I needed to. So maybe this helps you to evaluate yourself and to think in terms of meekness, in terms of yielding to God in all circumstances, with people in all situations. Am I being meek? Am I yielding to God's control in this situation? 1 Peter 3, verses 14 through 16. 1 Peter 3, verses 14 through 16. But even if, and this is like pretty specific. You can get a sense of this one pretty well. Even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled. But in your hearts regard Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with meekness and respect, having a good conscience so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. So when you're giving a defense of the gospel, you're to do it in meekness. Does that mean weakness? Timidity? Mildness? No. You're submitting to the control of God as you deliver the defense. You're speaking the truth in love. You're meeting the need of the moment. You're reaching someone where they're at. You're trying to help. You're not trying to win an argument. You're not trying to beat them up. You're not trying to be better than them, smarter than them, more right than them. You're trying to help. You're making a defense with meekness. You're submitting and yielding to God's will in how you deal with the situation or the person. A couple more. First Peter 3, verses 1 through 4. 1 Peter 3, verses 1 through 4. This is specific to the wife. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives when they see your respectful and pure conduct. Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair, the wearing of gold, or the putting on of clothing, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a meek and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. The meekness of a wife is beautiful to God. Does that mean that God expects the wife to be trampled on and to just yield to that? Or to just give in no matter what, no matter whatever the circumstances is, just give in because you're the wife and you're supposed to be subject and you're supposed to be, you know, he's the head. That's not what God is teaching, is it? What is the wife doing when she has this meek and quiet spirit? She's yielding to God's will so that she can accomplish the greatest good in the circumstance that she's in. So she's maintaining a submissive spirit. She's maintaining a respectful nature. She's not raising her voice back. She's not striking back. She's being meek. And so she's accomplishing God's will, trying to influence her husband. And he says here, even without a word. Even without a word. She's trying to do good. She's not just letting herself be run over. She's trying to do good. She's trying to show respect. She's trying to train her husband to think more like God would have him to think. And she's doing this by her spirit. And so that's the concept of meekness. I mean, you could explain that differently, perhaps, but it would all come down to that idea of yielding to the control of God in whatever circumstances we find ourselves in. And that's peace, and that's joy, and that's trust, and that's comfort. When we're doing things God's way, we're being meek, and things work out so much better. All right. One more, and then a final thought. Galatians 6. Save this one for the last, I guess. Galatians 6. You'll see the importance of meekness here, I think, in this passage. Galatians 6, verses 1 through 3. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of meekness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. So now you're going to this brother who's overtaken in a trespass and you're going with meekness? What are you doing? Because you could go to this brother with self-righteousness. You could go to this brother with harshness. You could go to this brother with arrogance and pride, but you're going with meekness. So what are you doing? You're allowing God to control your words and your thoughts and your minds in order to restore this brother. And that's what Paul says is spiritual. Let you who are spiritual. And I always say, I thought we were all spiritual. Well, we are, hopefully, right? But let those who have allowed God to develop the fruit of the Spirit in them, go to someone to restore such a one, because that is a very, what's the word? Dangerous? Not probably the right word, but it's a very difficult situation sometimes. And it requires one who's able to yield to God's thoughts and God's word and God's will, because that can be very challenging. To say the right words and to do the right thing to help someone to come out of sin. So you can see why meekness is being emphasized in this particular text. All right, and then here's just kind of a funny one. Funny in a certain sense. Paul says, fight the fight, Timothy, but do it meekly. Interesting. in 1 Timothy 6, "As for you, O man of God, flee these things, the desire for possessions. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, meekness. Fight the good fight of the faith." And so meekness is not weakness. Meekness is strength. Under control, under the control of God, like that war horse who all it takes is a nudge from the owner, from the rider, and he moves. Right where the rider wants him to move. And then back, and then forward. Stop. Go. Yielding. To let the Lord govern and strengthen our behaviors and our interactions. I appreciate your good attention this morning. I hope this helped a little bit to evaluate ourselves and see whether we're allowing God to produce this in us, this quality, this fruit. Because if He does produce this in us, when He does produce this in us, it will result in us doing what? Inheriting the earth. The meek shall inherit the earth. And I'm sure I didn't even touch on the depth of that, on the importance of that, nearly like it could have been. So appreciate your good attention this morning. We're going to stand and sing a song. And we always make this time available if anyone wants to obey the gospel. We're always ready for that, though, morning, night, you know, or night, anytime. But if you're ready this morning to obey the gospel, we're ready to help you to do that. And if you would like the prayers of the congregation for whatever reason, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.